This is the Hollywood Outsider weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We've got a new episode every week. We were going to take the week off, but we thought we would offer a short reactions cast on X-Men Apocalypse. The first few minutes or so will be spoiler-free, so for those of you that have not seen it, you'll know where we stand with it. And after that, it's spoiler Armageddon, so get ready. It's an apocalypse, if you will.
You'll know where we stand.
You see that? Like a last stand. Be sure to get the whole thing going with our Apple or Android apps. Just look for The Hollywood Outsider in your app store of choice. Find us on iTunes. Reviews are definitely appreciated. Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher. And please share the show with your friends. Also, Google, isn't it like Google Music now has an app? Or now has podcasts in their app. So if you have an Android phone, you can put it in there, whatever you want to do. I also want to mention the podcast awards real quick. You can vote once a day. Voting is open. You can vote once a day until June 12th. You basically go to podcastawards.com, and The Hollywood Outsider is a finalist for People's Choice. Took us all by surprise. We're shocked. We're honored, et cetera, et cetera. But we need vote because the winner is actually decided by popular vote. So if you guys can go there once a day per email address, if you use more than one email address, though, you need to go to a different device because it is verified, like only one per IP. Which is, that's a new wrench. And you do have to verify your vote. So you will get an email afterward saying, please confirm your vote. They do that to make sure that nobody throws a bot on it. Because I guess there was like 5,000, somebody tried to throw a bot and vote 5,000 times. Cheaters. Can you believe that, Scott?
I can, actually.
So you're saying you're used to people cheating?
Well, I am a school teacher.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. All right, so that's how you do it. There is a link on the website that describes and explains everything I just said and does it a lot slower and makes a lot more sense. So if you want to, go to thehollywoodoutsider.com, and that link is there. There's also some friends of the show. If you feel like voting for more, that would be great. Then those shows that we recommend are there. But Hollywood Outsider, People's Choice, please vote once a day till June 12th. All right, let's get into it. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today is my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
Hey, how you doing, Hobbles?
Hey, I am a little wounded. I'm an X-Man myself. More like an L.
Apparently like that hyper-healing that Wolverine has isn't working with you.
Yeah, actually, that's what Tyler said. We finally determined you're not Deadpool or Wolverine. So took a tumble, still healing. I'm getting there, though. I need a little droplet of mutant blood, and I'll be fine. The other guys, they elected to pass on this episode, so it's just Scott and I, which is fine. That's fine. It's just like we need cigars and wine. It's like Christmas again. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was a good time.
That was a fun episode.
You still feel that fire.
I wish I had that sound effect right now. I would just throw it up. We do want to clarify, though, before we get into X-Men Apocalypse, for all you comic book fans, we know you're out there. We are going to talk about this movie as average Joe moviegoers. You know why? Because we haven't read that comic. Have you, Scott? You have not read it, correct?
No.
I didn't know if you read it. Like after the format came out, you're like, you know what? I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to be that guy.
I'm going to read the whole series just real quick.
So while we know it's super bitchin', it's a great comic, everybody says so, we don't know anything about it. This discussion is amongst us non-informed people. It is for the fans of the movies that are not really as familiar with comic books. So as you write your bullet points, pointing out every single thing we get wrong, just remember we're only going by the movies. I don't really care what happened in the comic book. I'm only watching the movie. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Not dissing your comic book. I know it's precious. I know, my precious. So let's get to the spoiler-free portion. This will be rather short. We'll just kind of go into what the movie's about, what our basic review is, and we'll move on from there. Scotty, what is X-Men Apocalypse even about?
Well, I mean, the story is pretty much straightforward. There's a new villain that is this guy Apocalypse, who is apparently the first mutant. He has this... he's basically acquired different abilities, it feels like, from either deceased mutants or ones that he's killed off himself, and he kind of absorbs their powers as he goes. But he was the first original one, so he's been around for what, tens of thousands of years or something like that. We're introduced to him at the very beginning of the film in kind of like and he's in one of these transition phases where he's trying to get this healing ability, which he does acquire. But he's betrayed by some of the people. Is it in Egypt? I'm not even sure. Was it in Egypt?
Yeah,
it was Egypt.
Yeah.
And they betray
it
him.
Like it. I mean, it's a giant pyramid. So, I mean, yeah, big sign.
It's pretty cool that the only way that they could figure out how to, you know, take care of him was to drop an entire pyramid on his head. But
he's pretty powerful, man.
Yeah. He's got four horsemen. Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and they're kind of like his guardians, but they don't succeed at saving him, and he's trapped into this pyramid, which he's there for several thousand years until present day.
All I kept thinking when you're saying that is like, you had one job.
There's four of you. All I had to do,
one job. That's
I needed like 45 seconds to get this transfer in, you know. That's all I needed. Those stone pillar slide things that you really didn't see that coming. Come on. he awakens in present day because there's these basically cultists that have done all this research and trying to find him and to awaken him, and that's pretty much what they do. He decides that he wants to wipe the earth of all living things and start fresh because everybody's jacked it up.
Mm-hmm. Which is fair.
And the X-Men are called upon to, or not even called upon, they just take it upon themselves to take care of him. But they're still the younger versions of the X-Men that we know from the First Class series. So it's they're not the super experienced and they've got the experience from the past two movies, but.
Well, and you got some new, actually not new characters, but returning characters, but they're mm-hmm. younger and they're played by different people. Again, so you got Jean Grey, you've got, who else do you got? You got Scott.
Nightcrawler, you got Cyclops.
Cyclops, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yep, all right. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just mentioning that real quick.
No, that's basically, wasn't Jubilee in there as well?
Jubilee's in there, yeah. Beast comes back. Storm, which, I mean, she still has like a South African accent, which Halle Berry forgot about, but I don't know, but it seems like she's taken up a home in Egypt, wherever she is. But I don't know. I mean, it's all like one big continent, right?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And a mohawk. Is that a thing? Is that?
I don't know. I don't really read the comic books very much. I just know that I do know Storm has like a I think it's South African accent, and Halle Berry tried it in the first movie, was abysmal at it, and then she just decided to be like just Halle Berry the rest of the movies, which worked fine.
Yeah, it really did.
Fine. Okay. So what is your, we're going to talk about now our spoiler free reviews, what we think about the movie before we jump into the actual spoiler discussion. There, for me, there isn't as much story as there typically is for an X-Men film. I think the first hour is kind of like Apocalypse assembling his Ocean's 4 team.
You know, yeah, pretty much.
He's just going around trying to pick up the guys that he wants to bring with him. And then the second half is all about trying to stop Apocalypse from doing what he wants to do and ending the world, because we never get tired of that. And, of course, the key to all of it is Magneto, because we can't make an X-Men movie without Magneto being the key. It's entertaining, but way overstuffed. Apocalypse was a real hit-and-miss character for me. I won't go into it here. I'll go into it in the spoiler portion. Thank God for Quicksilver, because every time I was like, man, you know, checking the watch that I don't have, you know, I was like, I wish I had a watch so I could check it. Quicksilver would show up and do something fantastic and just bring me back to life. If $10 full price of admission, I would give it $5.50. That is not a bad rating. That is, it's okay. It's entertaining, but I probably won't watch it again.
I feel very similar, actually. I felt the movie dragged on much longer than any X-Men movie I've ever seen. I just wasn't really interested in the setup. Maybe it's because I saw too many trailers, but, so I already knew the basic story. I just wanted to see it wrapped up. I'll share my thoughts about Apocalypse in our spoiler section as well. But it was more miss than hits for me with that character. And again, having no experience with the comics to know how accurate he was, he felt imposing just by how he was described and a couple of things that he did. I didn't find him super intimidating outside of just the things that he actually did. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like I want him to look more scary. I don't know. Just because he's supposed to be like this ultimate being, and he just felt okay. Really, I felt the movie was not terrible. I don't think it was great. I just felt it was very okay. It's not one I need to see again. I watched the first two multiple times, really enjoyed those. This one just felt like it kind of dialed it in a little bit. So if $10 for the full price of admission, I would give it $5.
So we're kind of on par there. I do want to mention there's an extensive written review. Justin actually wrote a written review for the movie. It's on the website. He really liked it. He gave it $8, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's a big fan of it. We liked it. We liked it as far as okay is, you know.
Right.
I think people, you say like 5 or 6 people, oh, why are you hating on that movie? No, it's not hate. I know that there's a lot of critics hating on it.
That's 2 stars.
Yeah. 2 stars for, 2.5 stars for you and all, like 2.75 for me. Mm-hmm. I like it a little bit more. Not much, though. Not much. So where does this land in the pantheon of the X-Men films for you?
Now, are you talking all the X-Men films or just the first class films?
No, I'm talking all of them. Like, where does it land for all of them?
Pretty low. Yeah. I think I might have liked it better than Last Stand, maybe. But that's about it. All the others I thought were much more enjoyable, even the original X-Men.
Yep. I am. I would put it just above Last Stand. Well, actually, quite a ways above Last Stand. But I put Last Stand pretty low. So it's not. It's okay. It's just okay. I don't think there's been a bad X-Men movie. I'm not with the people that think Last Stand is awful. I don't think it's awful. I think it's fine. It's just, you know, I thought it was way too much. It's kind of like this one. Way too much crammed in there and didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, totally. And there are some things that I really did like about it, which we'll get into shortly. Yeah. But I just felt like I was bored more than I was entertained. Now, to be fair, I did go into it kind of tired. But
this ain't going to help.
I fell asleep, dude.
Did you really?
During an action scene, like when everything's blowing up, I'm just like, okay, we get it. This place is blowing up. You're doing it in slow motion. Okay. But then I was wide awake during all the dialogue.
Aren't you getting sick of like every comic book movie has to destroy the world? Can we just take out like a school? Can that just be like, that's all we're going for?
Well, that's kind of the problem with comic book movies is that the sequels always have to be bigger and badder than the last.
I disagree. Right? I just want to stop blowing up the planet, man. God, it's getting old. I mean, at this point, I just want it to go. Fine. They obviously need it to. So just boom, let's start over. Let's see what he does. Maybe he would have made it magical. All right, we're going to get into the spoiler-free section, but we're going to transition with what I think is a great commercial for Charles.
Alexander.
He's his son. He's adopted. You don't know about it. He'll be in the sequel.
He took over the family business.
It's Charles Xavier's School for the Gifted. It's a kind of a mock advertisement. It's great. Take a listen.
Sometimes being gifted doesn't feel like a gift. Nobody seems to understand you. Sometimes they're even scared of you. Wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to worry about hiding your gifts anymore? Hi, I'm Jubilee, and it wasn't that long ago when I felt that way too. But then I became a student at Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, and everything changed. At Xavier's, you'll meet students and even teachers who are just like you and understand everything that you're going through. Under the guidance of world-renowned geneticist Professor Charles Xavier, you'll learn how to control your gifts while also getting the education and training that you need to succeed in the fast-paced world of 1983. So why be alone when you can make some excellent new friends here? Xavier's is no ordinary school, because let's face it, you're no ordinary student.
Thanks, Jubilee.
You were right.
Xavier's is totally rad.
Operators are standing by.
Tell me that's not great.
Was that for real?
It was like a joke advertisement they did for the movie.
Was that Stan Lee at the end saying operators are standing by?
Stan Lee, Mr. Cameo, Captain Cameo. Yep. Sure was. Tell me that's not great, man. I think that's great.
That was pretty funny. It sounded very 80s. Well, even the sound sounded like it was on a VHS tape.
Well, it takes place in the 80s, so it should.
Right.
This whole movie takes place in the 80s. All right, so we are spoiler-free. If you have not seen the movie, I don't want to hear about it because we're going to talk about it.
Well, we're not spoiler-free. We're going to be spoiler-full.
Okay, we're spoiler-full. You're right. It's a good thing that Scott is here to keep me in check because I don't know what the hell's going on. All right, let's talk about Apocalypse. He is the big bad. He is the new villain, the latest threat. His story is the driving force, wants to wipe out the world, clean, begin a new one, a better one. Was he as imposing as you thought he'd be?
No. And I think that's mostly because of his look. I there's so many good characters out there that have just fantastic makeup work. And as I look at Apocalypse, I just don't feel like I'm looking at a real person or a real being. I'm looking at somebody covered in makeup. That's all I could think of every time I'm seeing him.
With Oscar's trash can wrapped around him.
Yeah, he's like an overweight guy from Blue Man Group. I mean, that's all I could think of watching this. He doesn't look real. I mean, there's been other characters. I know you didn't like the villain from Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, sure didn't.
But he felt like a real person, at least. He didn't. He sure, you might have overacted a little bit, but he, I would believe that he exists. I don't believe that Apocalypse existed while watching this. I'm watching a stage presentation.
See, I'm conflicted because I think Oscar Isaac, who I think is a tremendous actor, I really do, did everything he could. The dialogue was very cliche and weak and simplistic, I thought.
His lines were so 10,000 years ago, is that what you're saying?
His lines were so, yes, 10,000 years. Very well. Good job. I think he tried. I think he did everything he could. And the makeup was actually fine for me. There were spots where I thought it looked cool and spots where I thought, well, that looks not very good. So it was really depending on the shot and the lighting. But what really took me out of it is, and I really don't know. I've heard rumors that he's supposed to be able to get very huge in the comics. I don't know if that's the fact or not. I could be speaking out of turn. But I do know that every time he was standing next to Psylocke or Storm or any of them, he looked very small. And like almost like Gary Coleman in a West Side Story kind of. I mean,
what are you talking about, Willis?
It just took me out of it because I'm like, seriously, you're the guy everybody's scared of? I mean, you just look like a little midget. I don't really get what everybody's so frightened of. And it was hard to take him seriously when he just didn't look imposing or threatening or really like he had any. All he could do was, I mean, yes, he could bring about the end of the world. He could. What could he do? He could enhance.
Could turn you into a wall.
Yeah, he could turn you into a wall. That was his big thing. He liked to do that. That was fun. He could enhance his four horsemen. He could enhance their powers, make them greater, make them more prominent, and use all of them.
Make them all super loyal.
Super loyal. Yeah. By, you know, let me show you a better way, and let me show you what you can do, and you can be somebody. I don't know how he felt about Storm being a horseman, but I guess, you know, she comes around at the end, so that worked out. The thing, you know, a lot of people complained about him looking like Ivan Ooze in that early picture screenshot where he's like purple. I didn't get that. I mean, I never saw him and went, wow. But that's mostly because Oscar Isaac was trying so hard to convey a threatening presence. And I think acting wise, he did everything he could. It just wasn't there on the page. And like you said, that costume just didn't work. I mean, to me, the makeup worked fine for me. It was the costume that I had a problem with. It just didn't work for me. Man, the dialogue was really, I mean, he just didn't seem like you said, like a real being, more like an object.
And the ones from the trailer, which I've heard so many times, and then seeing it in the movie was even worse. It was like, it was just so, I mean, like you said, he's trying to deliver those lines and just act his butt off, but it just seems so cheesy at some point to use this really loud voice instead of monologuing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like, we're not going to have this guy monologue. We're actually going to have him do this, just yell what he wants to do to everybody. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think Apocalypse, the reason we're starting with him first, I think that's where most of our problem with the movie is. And not because Oscar Isaac wasn't trying, just because the character didn't come across as nearly as threatening, even if he's destroying the world. It just didn't resonate as much. And I think part of that is because they had, once again, Magneto was key to the plan. So you always knew at some point he's going to come back. Mm-hmm. So I never really felt like there was any threat because I always knew Magneto, you know, he would eventually, you know, his one goal is to save mutants. I mean, he wants mutants to survive. In every one of these damn movies, Magneto's goal is, I'm tired of playing to the people. They should just accept us. And I want our kind to thrive, where Apocalypse was going to kill all of them.
So where did he like decide to that this is a good idea for him then? Because he knew that going in, we're going to destroy everybody.
I think he had the inclination that because he had lost his wife and daughter, and he was just tired. He was tired of everyone. He'd lost his way. He had lost his faith in everything. And it took Charles, his only friend, to finally bring him back, etc.
So he had a weak moment from his original passion?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, okay. I really thought so. But I mean, it was one of those things where I knew Magneto was never going to let that happen. So there's really no threat to this happening. It makes it very, very hard to take the threat seriously when I already know how the movie's going to end. That was right. My biggest problem. So he gathers his four horsemen and Storm, Psylocke, Angel, and Magneto. So what did you think about, now we got Storm back in the picture, we've got Olivia Munn debuting as Psylocke, we've got a new Angel, and we've got Magneto kind of getting a little bit more backstory. What did you think of all four of those?
I actually liked that. I was surprised that Storm and Magneto were two of the horsemen. I feel like I didn't know that. I must have avoided a little bit more than I thought I did.
Yeah, I didn't know that in the trailers, no.
No, okay. So that was kind of a cool surprise. I think having Magneto there was kind of cool, although like I said earlier, I felt conflicted with his whole philosophy. But Storm, I could have taken her or leaving her. I guess it was cool to see how her hair turned white.
Did you miss Halle Berry at all?
No. Yeah. I thought she was just fine. I mean, again, no comparison for me. To me, Halle Berry was my first Storm, so.
Oh, I thought you were going to stop there. I'm like, that's awesome. Oh,
she's my first. No, Olivia Munn was my first. No, not really. I don't know how I felt about her because I just like to look at her. I don't know how cool her character was. She could swing a katana blade pretty cool, but
do you know she passed on the wife and or the girlfriend in Deadpool for this?
Really?
True story, yeah, because she didn't want to be the girlfriend, the hot girlfriend. I'm like, well, you're walking around in this thing in pretty skimpy outfits. What's the difference? I don't, whatever.
I don't know which one. I think I might like Marina Baccarin better anyway, so I'm glad she did.
Yeah, I think it worked. Well, I mean, she didn't really get a whole lot of screen time. I mean, I kind of thought from the ads and the trailers that Psylocke was going to be a much bigger deal. I think she got like 10 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, probably. You know, Angel was awesome.
The metal wings.
That was really cool.
Yeah, they finally made that character cool because Last Stand he sucked.
Yeah, didn't he have like? Because he kept the regular feathers in the original, right?
Yeah, he was just like a fluffy pillow flying around. Yeah,
he actually looked like an angel. They made him much, much more badass in this one.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Yeah, and Magneto, like I said, he's always cool, man. I love Michael Fassbender as Magneto. It just seems very perfect. Like I can imagine him growing up and looking like, what's his name?
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen, thank you.
You're just gonna call him the old guy?
I said Ian. I couldn't remember the last name.
Let me think.
Just his mannerisms work very much like his, and I just I really enjoy seeing him. And his powers are just fun.
And he can act his ass off.
Yes, he can.
I mean, it's almost like some of those people show up and like, maybe we should just go home because this guy is going to make us look stupid. And
right.
He does. He does. Speaking of Magneto, he gets this wife and child that we've never heard of before, but this is also like the revamped timeline. Because remember, Days of Future Past kind of changed the timeline, reset some things.
Right. And that was where I was confused because when we're introduced to his daughter, all I'm thinking is, well, where's the son then? Because
Quicksilver's the son,
right? But so is Scarlet Witch, or Scarlet Witch is the twin, is the other twin.
Well, but that's in the Marvel universe. In this universe, apparently, we don't know about Scarlet Witch yet. I don't know if they don't have the rights to her. It's such a nightmare. I didn't even think they could say that Quicksilver was actually his son. I didn't know that they could say that.
Well, he didn't. So,
well, he said he's my dad.
No, I know. He didn't say it to him.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't say it to him.
So, yeah.
So maybe he can't know. Maybe that's what the rules are.
I really did like that moment, though, with him, with his family. Just seeing Magneto as like a family man and trying to enter himself into the real world. And that scene was really, really cool to me. And the death scene.
Oh, so cool.
It really was.
It's probably one of my favorite moments, man. When he took, was it like a necklace? It was a necklace, right?
Yep. And then he just like, oh. Mm. That's all I needed was that one little tiny little necklace to take out like 9 dudes. It was awesome. And he probably could have before that happened. He was trying to do the right thing until they forced his hand with a moment of rage.
I will give them credit. They find more uses for metal than I ever thought possible. Because I'm just and the whole time that was going on, I'm like, what's metal? There's got to be something metal. Is there something in the ground? Is there something in the wood? Is there a metal tree? What's going to happen? And then one necklace and he took out everybody. It was phenomenal.
Very quickly, too. Like, why hasn't that just been a thing?
Why does he just walk around with a necklace?
Yeah.
These movies could be so much shorter, man.
They would.
Stop wasting all of our time. Yeah, that was cool. Do you think that'll ever come back into play, future movies? Because I'm sure there'll be more.
I have to imagine it would. It's going to be, somebody's going to say something to set him off, or because he's got to go bad again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At some point. He's just kind of like a flip-flop character for good, bad at this point.
Moving on to the other returning characters, the big ones from the other First Class movies, the First Class and Days of Future Past. We got Charles Xavier, who's James McAvoy. You got Beast, who's Nicholas Holt. And Mystique, Jennifer Lawrence, because Mystique has to be a central point to every one of these movies now. What did you like most from them or dislike from them? You know, what did you think?
It kind of bugged me with Charles' role that he's feeling less and less like Patrick Stewart with each movie. I feel like with the first one, he nailed it. He was a young Patrick Stewart. He was young Professor X, hands down, you know, obviously without the busted legs. And now that he's back in the wheelchair, he's feeling not as charming. I mean, I know he's got the hots for Rose Byrne's character now.
So do I, man.
Well, yeah.
Guilty. Guilty.
And I kind of wish that didn't seem important to me.
Why?
I felt it didn't seem relevant to the story.
It was just like a little, I got a crush. I got a little bit of a crush.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I took those memories from you. So he could have that moment.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then he gave him back. Here you go.
Yeah, sorry. Remember that? Now we can make out. Now we're good. Man, see, I think James McAvoy's just interesting to watch. I think he's more fun to watch. Yeah, I'm going on record as saying it. He's more fun to watch for me than Patrick Stewart. I find him more interesting to watch as an actor.
I find him more interesting from a fresh aspect. I like Patrick Stewart as a I don't know what, comfort actor. Like I'm used to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's so calming and soothing, and just everything he says just sounds wise.
Yeah, he totally wants, like, he gets you in the sexy mood.
Mm-hmm.
He really does.
Beast, I didn't feel blown away by him this time. I don't know.
He's so boring, isn't he?
Yeah, I want to see more of him blue and tearing stuff up.
Yeah, so. He never really gets to do it.
And I'm kind of getting bored with Mystique too. Like,
so am I.
I mean, just the shape shifting thing. Like, oh, I'm acting like Psylocke now. So, but you didn't see that coming. It's like the rubber mask thing in the
Mission Impossible movies.
Like, it's got to be one in every movie.
And the face comes off.
That's her power, but I don't know. Just do something a little bit more interesting than I'm your friend. I'm here to help you. I'm going to slice your neck. Ha ha! Gotcha.
She should do like a two-face thing where she's got like half her face and then half another face. And like she just does a whole scene switching her angles.
She should just be Two-Face, bring in the DC universe, make that happen.
Oh man, just mess it all up. Fox doesn't care. They don't give a rat's ass. They're just bringing it like, is that Superman? No, it's Super Mutant. Yeah, it's Super Mutant. Oh, look, Bat Mutant. He's over there in the corner.
See, it's an M on her chest, but it's not really an M. It's, yeah, it's different. Her family crest.
It's different. Aquamutant. Thank God we're in the water. Yeah, I'm in the same boat, man. Jennifer Lawrence, love her to death, but she wasn't nearly as bad in the movie as she looked in the trailer. In the trailer, she looked bored, but here I think it was just the way it was cut. I thought she was fine. Mm-hmm. It's the character that is just, I'm tired of two things in these movies, right? Two things are really wearing on me. One, these last three, because Jennifer Lawrence is so popular, they keep making Mystique like a focal point of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't appeal to me as an audience member. I want it to be, you know, Xavier's school for the gifted. And Magneto, like, I don't mind that Magneto is constantly involved because I love the character of Magneto. But the fact that he's always part of the evil plan is getting old.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every damn movie, it feels like. He's always the reason everything goes awry. But at the very end, they make up. And it's just like, why do you keep making up with him if he's such a jackass? I mean, God.
Well, we're all still friends with you, so.
Oh, wow. Son of a bitch. All right, well, moving on. This thing's done.
You know who I did like, though?
Not me.
A lot was, not was me. Sophie Turner as
Jean
Grey.
I'm taking your memories back. What?
Sophie Turner is Jean Grey.
I thought she was great.
I thought she was great, too. And I know I'm a little biased because I think she's pretty.
She's gorgeous, man.
But she again, felt like a young Femke Jensen. Like, I could totally believe that. She just felt like she personified that character so much. I felt drawn to watching her on the screen more than I did Mystique.
She's 20, so everything I thought during that movie is cool. Sweet. Sweet. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I think she's actually, I was shocked to hear her American accent.
Yeah, me too. I was like, wow, she pulled that off really well.
She did. She pulled it off really well. And I think she's a nice addition. I liked watching her, and I liked having the Phoenix show up and done close to the way I understand it to be done, which is that big fiery presence at the, you know, at the end that she does. You know, Last Stand did the Dark Phoenix storyline, supposedly, but they messed it all up. And here you kind of got a glimpse of that because she becomes the Phoenix before she becomes the Dark Phoenix, I believe. Mm-hmm. And this was like a look into that, which was cool. I thought it was a really cool example of how powerful she is. I had never, even in The Last Stand, where I thought it was just getting ridiculous in that movie, here I felt like I was finally understanding the extent of her power.
Right. But it also felt a little bit too easy way to solve this problem. Like she just finally realizes her full potential at the last minute. I feel like that's been done in these types of movies.
Well, yeah, it's Magneto realizes he's their friend at the very end too. So
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I think that has been done actually with that character too.
What do you think of Ty Sheridan as a Cyclops?
He's fine. I love Ty Sheridan as an actor. I don't know if he blew me away in this. But I thought he did an admirable job of picking up James Marsters.
Marsden.
Marsden, thank you. Whatever. Oh, yeah, James Marsters on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Whew, whatever. Put James Marsters in one of these movies. It'd be great. James Marsden. I think he did a good job of picking up his slack. Are you a big fan?
I haven't seen him in anything else, but I really dug him. I thought I keep saying this with all these characters. I totally believe that he was young Scott. Like he just, the attitude that he had, and you could tell he's starting to have a thing for Jean Grey, which is going to go, you know, go somewhere, and you can kind of see the chemistry between them. I think they play off well. They play off each other very well, and I'm looking to see more with that. Wasn't there supposed to be? I thought I could have swore there was a scene in the trailer where Quicksilver does a scene with Scott, where he takes his glasses off and you see the beam coming out of his eyes. Like in slow motion or something. Did we get robbed of that in this movie? Or
I only watched the first trailer and one or two of the TV commercials, so I didn't see the other trailers you guys are talking about.
I swear, like Quicksilver's running around the room and he actually lifts his shade so that the beam comes out of his eyes and he reflects it off of a mirror or something.
I saw that. Yeah, I think I did see that.
And I was really looking forward to that and it never happened and I was kind of bummed. So
now you're all sad.
Yeah, kind of. What about Nightcrawler? Did you like him?
Nightcrawler was great. Mm-hmm. I love Nightcrawler. I thought I liked him better than Alan whatever did it in the original and X-Men 2. I thought he was fun and he seemed to inhabit that that innocence and
fear
better. Yeah, mm-hmm. I really dug that character. Yeah, I really dug it. Cody Smith McPhee. That's who it was. He was really good.
Mm-hmm. They made him look just like the other one too. Was that X-Men 2?
Yeah, X-Men 2. And Havoc is back and he was in First Class, so it's been what, 20 years since that one?
And Havoc hasn't aged more than like 3 or 4 years.
Didn't age a day. That was a big sticking point for a lot of people because it's like, well, it's supposed to be 20 years later and he looks the same. It's a movie, man. Those kind of things I don't.
It's mutant, man. It's chalk it up with mutant powers.
If I can swallow his ass doing all the crazy shit he does, I'm fine with it.
Nobody said anything about Mystique not looking 20 years older.
No, because she doesn't age a day.
And she or James McAvoy, any of them, really.
Yeah, they all look the same.
Yeah.
That's true. Good call. Some bitch. Yeah. So any other characters you want to mention before we move on to the fun stuff?
I'm trying to think of any others that I am missing. Rose Byrne's character felt like the same character from the first one. So,
well, it's good because she was.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, she didn't blow me away.
She didn't get to do either.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think there's too many characters in here? Like too many things going on?
To some degree, I think there was too much stuff going on with the story in terms of just stuff blowing up everywhere unnecessarily that I just... It's weird to say I was bored by explosions, but I just was like, okay, I get it.
You get numb to it.
I don't want to be. I want to go to the movie and be like, that was an awesome explosion. And I'm getting to the point where I just, okay, I get it. And I feel like such a douche for saying that, but I do.
No, man, but the very end, when they're having this climactic showdown, and I mean, it's great in, or it should be great in scope, but, and some of it was kind of cool. But as it goes on, I'm just like, my God, the whole world's coming to an end, and all you guys are doing are fighting in a few spare buildings in this one section. I mean, it's just boring. Mm-hmm. And not boring isn't bad, because I do think some of the action was enjoyable. I didn't fall asleep, Scott. And I loved the Phoenix coming out. I thought that was a great scene, and I thought it was done well. And I love seeing the flesh rip off Apocalypse bones. It went on too long, and it felt like something that we've seen in all of these movies. So right. There wasn't a whole lot drastically different, except in the last movie, there really wasn't an end of the world scenario. It was what, a football stadium, and that's about it, which I love that, because
yep.
That's what made X-Men is a little bit different than all the other movies. Now, this one really felt, and I know they're trying to go global, but it felt like it was, you know, just another Captain America Civil War or Batman versus Superman, where everything in the world has to just blow up.
Well, and how are they going to explain that they were able to take out Apocalypse back when they were real young, but they're going to struggle so much to actually fight Magneto in a few years?
Well, he's going to be better with screws. So, I mean, once he gets the nuts and the drivers down, I think he's going to be a force to reckon with.
I don't know. Yeah. Isn't it buggy a little bit that I guess they're not kids, though. They're supposed to be 20 years older, so they've had experience.
Plus, the timeline has changed, so maybe that'll be different. I don't know. I mean, it's basically an alternate universe at this point.
Right. So then maybe they knows? Won't fight Magneto. Maybe they're just going to be buddies from here on
they're
out.
They're going to fight Magneto. They fight him in every movie. They're going to fight Magneto. That's apparently when they sit down and hash these things out, they're like, we need to fight Magneto at some point. What, can't he just be a good guy? No.
How many times is he going to say goodbye, old friend? Didn't we just say this last movie?
Yeah, then the check cleared, and then bam, here I am. Guess what? They threw another zero in. A Magneto.
Magneto, oh.
Speaking of, here's a little clip of Magneto.
Some of you spoke to the police about what you believe you witnessed here yesterday. You want to know my powers? Know who I am. See what I can do. Think of the person you love most in your life. Now that person will know what it is to lose someone they love.
Henrik, proszę cię, nie rób tego.
My name isn't Henrik. My name is Magneto.
Okay, I'll be honest. That gives me chills.
That, yeah, same here.
Yeah, he's so good, man. I know you're pumped, right? Because he's going to be in Assassin's Creed. Are you excited?
I'm excited, cautiously optimistic. I'm going to enjoy watching him. I really like that game series, and I hope they pull it off.
All right, favorite scene. What's your favorite scene? X-Men Apocalypse, positive stuff. Favorite scene?
Anything with Quicksilver.
Yep.
Everything he did was just so much fun to watch, and you had to know it was coming because they had it in the last one.
Oh, I think this one's better.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, and if you look at, there's you can go on YouTube, I think, and it's go to the 20th Century Fox YouTube channel. They've got a little video showing how they made that scene. It's phenomenal to watch how many people it takes to make that happen. And then when you see it in play, how gorgeous it is. Absolutely gorgeous. And Quicksilver is a character. I almost want to spin off of Quicksilver. Excuse me. I like that character so much. I want to spin off.
He's got a good attitude, too. He's a fun attitude.
Fun. I know we're not allowed to say that anymore. It's a bad word. But he's fun, and I could totally watch an entire movie around his Quicksilver if they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
that would learn about his history a little bit.
It cost about $1 billion, based on that small 5-minute scene took 2 months to shoot.
Wow, and that scene was probably like what, 3 minutes?
5 minutes. I just said it's like a 5-minute scene. Do you listen when I talk?
Yeah, I try to tune you out whenever I can.
Jackass. My favorite scene, same thing. It's Quicksilver saving everyone from the school when it blew up. And when Stryker attacks, because Stryker's always there. He's always got to be there. Do you have a favorite line or moment from the movie?
Well, we kind of talked about it already, but man, the Magneto scene when he's trying to live a normal life and his family dying in his arms, that, man, it was a punch to the gut. And like the clip you just mentioned, him going back and with this determination to dispatch everybody that more or less narked on him and that speech, it was just that his whole like trying to just put himself back in the real world. I just love that idea. Because he's not the Magneto that we know from the previous films, and I kind of like that side of it.
You know what we're forgetting is, like, as soon as he says, "I'm Magneto," Apocalypse shows up and gets rid of everybody by going poof, which was hysterical.
Yeah, just I get this.
Yeah, can we talk now? Are you done? You know, I thought that was a great moment. My favorite moment was near the end, when they're trying to figure out what to do about Apocalypse, and then Quicksilver tries to slow motion kick his ass. Because yeah. it just came out of nowhere, and he stopped him, and it didn't work out, and he ended up just getting jacked up. I mean, broke his leg and everything else. But just the way that it went from hysterical to awful in a matter of seconds was phenomenal to me.
I kind of wanted to see the scene in, like, normal speed.
it's over like, you know, that?
Yeah. I just want to see, like, just to see what it looks like, because he was going all over the place.
Oh, he was just kicking his ass, and then his eyes changed, and it was over.
But that's all you got to do.
Yeah, it was fun, though, man. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. So we kind of talked about some of the stuff that didn't work for you, but overall, what was the biggest problem for you?
The same thing I already mentioned. The ending just felt rushed and cliched. I wanted some bigger, not the very ending. I actually kind of liked the very ending, like the lead up for the next one. But just the way that they took out Apocalypse, and they just nothing. I felt like nothing special happened. Granted, we did see the Phoenix in the way that you guys remember it or whatever, and that was pretty cool. But it just, I want something cooler than I finally realized the extent of my powers, because I feel like that's been done so much. It just really bugged me.
Mine is the overall plot. The reason it didn't work for me overall is that it felt like a by-the-numbers superhero movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like introduce major villain, introduce your heroes, heroes have to take out major villain, and that was it. And for me, the reason that the movies in the X-Men series that I love are the ones that are not by the numbers. They take on class warfare. They take on alienation from being a mutant versus being a human. They really take in that, I don't want to say racism, but, you know, mutantism. They take that scope, that angle, that depth, and it makes it something more than just a superhero movie. And
right.
That's why I love these movies. And this one had none of that. Little taste of it here and there, but overall, it was just by the numbers superhero flick.
And, yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
With familiar characters. It was like,
right.
That was the draw.
Right. And I just feel like, you know, the reason why these movies click and the reason why the characters click so much is because of their difference in opinion on a similar issue, which is Charles Xavier thinks he should make friends with humans because then they'll see them for who they truly are. And, you know, Magneto doesn't want to deal with that and his kind, Magneto and his kind. So the villain doesn't have to be Magneto again. It can be somebody like Magneto, but that's the difference. And I really missed that dynamic here, and it was very, very important, I thought.
Well, that was kind of the draw, even with the original ones, was the whole mutants versus
humans.
Politics of it was kind of the fun part.
Yeah, segregation. It's been an overlying factor for every movie except this one, really. So how do you feel about the series as a whole? Like where it's going? Is there anything you want to see changed? What?
I'm not liking it as much as I did when it started. I don't know if you remember, but I loved First Class when that came out. I actually
gave
James McAvoy my best actor of the year, whatever, when we do our Ho Awards. I love that movie. I love the backstory of it. I love the whole concept of going back to the past. But I just feel like they're biting off more than they can chew at this point not too much, because that's contradictory to what I'm just saying, because I think the story wasn't that great, like you said, but they're trying too hard.
There you go. We both said the same thing, same time.
Yeah. It's like we don't need that grand. I think they're trying to do Infinity Wars for the X-Men series already. And it's like, you haven't built up enough with these characters yet. It's only the third movie. Pump on the brakes a little bit. I mean, seriously, where do you go from here? What villain is going to be bigger and badder than Apocalypse?
Well, I think they introduced who the next villain is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be bigger and badder, though.
Right.
Well, I'll talk about that shortly because I want to. I think Bryan Singer needs a vacation. And I think he's alluded to it, like he needs a break. I felt it in this one. I don't know how. In my mind, Days of Future Past is one of the best X-Men movies. And he went from that to one of the least enjoyable. Like, still entertaining, but least enjoyable comparatively speaking.
Yeah, it's almost not a fair comparison because we like the other one so much.
Yeah, that's true. And it's a totally different kind of movie. Mm-hmm. And it also mixes both casts, which is pretty cool for every fan. But the one thing First Class had was, it had a good feel, it had a good vibe, it had a good flow, everything felt smooth. It wasn't super fun, but it had fun moments. Right. You know what I mean? And Matthew Vaughn was great. I think if they could bring him back to this universe, I would welcome it in a heartbeat. Give Bryan Singer a movie off or a couple movies off. Let him go do some more Apt Pupils, which if you've never seen it, is a fantastic movie. Or, I don't know, Usual Suspects.
I have seen it. It's the one with the Nazi guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Ian McKellen.
Awesome. Nazi guy. Awesome movie.
Yeah, he needs to go back and make a couple more of those, man, because, I mean, he can direct. I think he's maybe, as much as he loved it, he's maybe a little burned out. Mm-hmm. I think these films should feel a little grander. You can have the weight of the world on the shoulders without trying to destroy it every 5 minutes. And they just need more of that segregation aspect, of that focus on the diversity of mutant and human. And even though I know the last movie was all about that, it still should be an underlying theme, because to me, that's what these films are. Mm-hmm. It's all about that struggle.
I agree.
Okay, so who's your overall favorite mutant in the series or in this film?
Magneto. Yeah. I don't care. he's been my favorite in all of these, even though he's supposed to be a bad guy, or he is a bad guy. And Michael Fassbender really sells it for me too. Just he's so much fun to watch. Just the way that he delivers those lines, just you feel like you're getting a stage performance, but it's on a silver screen. And he's got the coolest power, man. The ability to move metal, and it just, he's always been my favorite. I remember was it the second X-Men movie where they pumped the guard full of like iron, and he drew the iron out of his blood and used that. I was like, oh, it's so awesome. Like, it's just, they keep coming up with all these cool ways for him to manipulate metal, and I love it. I just love how he calmly like just puts stuff between his fingers, and even in this one, I just loved everything he did.
I'm going Charles Xavier.
Yeah,
I said it before. James McAvoy is an actor I just love to watch. He's got so many little nuances, little ticks. I can see why you would prefer he stayed closer to Patrick Stewart. What I'm seeing is it's going the opposite way, where it's becoming more James McAvoy, and I'm fine with that because I love James McAvoy.
No, I do too. And again, I don't dislike his performance. I just, like I said, I want him to be Patrick Stewart, which isn't fair because he's not.
Right. I mean, but it is fair because you've got an established character, so he should grow into that. But I just find him to be funny and charming, and I find him charming. You don't. I find him charming, and I think.
Oh, I totally find him charming.
Well, you said not as charming as Patrick Stewart.
Not, he wasn't as charming as he was in First Class.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, he was much more charming. Granted, he was trying to woo girls, and at that point.
He could walk. Walking is important. Trust me, I'm finding that out the last couple of weeks when I can't. God, I need my own next chair.
It's good to see you, Raven. Welcome home.
This isn't my home.
It was once.
No, it was your home. I just lived here. I barely even recognize it now.
You know, I have plans for this place. I mean to turn it into a real campus, a university. Not just for mutants, either, for humans, too. Living and working, growing together.
You know, I really believed that once. I really believed we could change them.
We did.
Just because there's not a war doesn't mean there's peace. You want to teach your kids something, teach them that. Teach them to fight. Otherwise, they might as well live in this house for the rest of their lives.
You still sound just like him. You sound just like Eric.
That's why I'm here. He's resurfaced.
The whole world will be looking for him.
But you can help me find him before they do.
Okay, any parting thoughts? What'd you think about the Wolverine cameo, I should ask?
I thought it felt
out of place. Simpatico! That's twice.
I mean, it's one of those that I kind of wish I hadn't seen in the trailer, because I would have liked to have been surprised by that instead of like waiting for it to come. Like, oh, this is the part where we're going to see Wolverine. And then it was just seeing him rip up people with his claws for a little bit, and that's it. And then he was gone. Escaped.
I never actually saw that trailer. I just saw it on every social media platform.
Well, regardless, you knew it was coming.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. I feel like it went on way too long.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think they're just trying to, because in the last movie, he kind of got stuck with bone claws or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think they're just trying to set it up to make sure that he has metal claws for the next movie.
Right.
But it didn't have to go on as long as it did. Like, I thought it was over. His cameo was over at least three times. I'm just like, why does he keep showing up? I don't get it. And then when he runs out, when he bursts outside in the snow, I don't know if that's a wig or what, but it just didn't look funny. And the look that he's, because, you know, Hugh Jackman is like, what, 47 now, probably?
Right.
And he's starting to finally look his age. I mean, he's aging. He's not forever young.
And well, at least they didn't do what they did with Arnold in the Terminator movie.
Yeah, they didn't try to CG him up. But he has this moment where he looks at Jean Grey, once you know, and you have this moment where you realize, hey, you know, in past movies, he loved Jean Grey, and now you're looking at it going,
That's creepy.
Is he giving her the sexy look? Because I'm pretty sure she's 16 and he's like 158. That's gross. You're not Roman Polanski. Get out of here. You know, it was wrong. And I felt dirty watching it. And I love Wolverine, but I'm like, man, can you just run? Just get out of there.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to Rated R Wolverine. So I'm pretty excited about that now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say just real quick is I feel like we've been down on this movie pretty much this whole episode.
Well, I think down and up and down a little bit.
Yeah, there were parts I really did enjoy about it. I don't hate this movie. I just think I think the good parts outweighed the bad, and that's why I gave it an average score.
Yeah, I found it, like I said, entertaining. Mm-hmm. Just not blowing the doors off. And I think it only made like $80 million for the 4-day weekend, which they were expecting $100 million. Reviews weren't very, very good. I think it's getting a really unfair lashing on the internet, of course, which is funny because the last movie, everybody's praising Singer for saving the X-Men. This, which, you know, I'll be honest, Matthew Vaughn had already done that, but whatever. but this movie, they're all jumping all over him. And I don't think the guy's a bad director. I just think he needs a break from the world. and the movie was fine. I think if you cut 20 minutes out of it, tightened it up a little bit, maybe if they just would have worked out Apocalypse's dialogue a little more and made it so we had a better understanding of what his goal was other than, I want to make a better one. Yeah, okay, we got it. it just felt way too cliched and it just took too long.
I just woke up. I don't understand what's going on, so I'm just going to clean the slate.
I don't like Cable. Gone. Gone. Rubik's Cubes. Hate them. Gone. Yeah. That's basically what it felt like.
Cars. Yeah. Gone.
What is this nonsense? We fly, right? Don't we fly? Why is no one worshiping me? Where are all my little Egyptian friends? Bring them back. The ending stinger, I want to explain it. So
I had no idea what was going on with that.
Yeah, I had to steal this from Cinema Blend. So I'm crediting them. Cinema Blend. The end stinger, just like in the original movies, this was overseen by William Stryker. So, but in this new timeline, Logan was freed from his cell and unleashed on Stryker soldiers. A mysterious figure in this final scene had to step over bodies left during Wolverine's escape, and he finds a vial of Wolverine's blood marked Weapon X. He sticks the vial in a briefcase labeled Essex Corps. The name might be new to the X-Men movie universe, but hardcore X-Men fans know that the briefcase refers to Nathaniel Essex, a.k.a. Mr. Sinister. Do you want to know who Mr. Sinister is, Scott?
Sure.
Okay. He made his comic debut in 1987's Uncanny X-Men, number 221. As Nathaniel Essex, he was a 19th century geneticist who conducted dangerous experiments for the sake of accelerating evolution via mutation. Soon he crossed paths with Apocalypse, who in the comic books transformed him into Mr. Sinister. So thanks to this genetic alteration, He was given abilities like telekinesis, mind manipulation, shape-shifting, energy projection, regeneration, and more. All this combined with his own natural intellect make him one of the X-Men's most dangerous enemies.
So that's going to be an X-Men movie, or is that going to be a Wolverine movie?
I think it... Well, actually, I don't know. It could... I think it's going to be an X-Men movie. Or it's going to be the next X-Men movie. That's what it sounds like.
But, I mean, Wolverine would have to play a part in it more, right?
Well, it seems like they have to throw him in somewhere in every movie, right?
Because he's going to have to be the one to counter it since they used his blood.
Yeah, well, not necessarily. I mean, I don't know. It's alluding to that villain coming either in the X-Men universe or the next Wolverine movie. I don't know which one. I'm just telling you that's who it was.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens. And I do want to mention, do you notice that in these movies, they're always dropping the F-bomb?
Like, yeah, just randomly. Or it doesn't even, you don't need it.
It's like, why? Why is it? I mean, don't get me wrong. I like hearing an F-bomb in a comic book movie, but every time I'm just sitting there going, why?
Yeah, but the one where they did it in the first class movie. When you see Wolverine for that like just brief second, that was great. That like is that character. You know what I mean? Here it just it just didn't fit.
It's like, where do we throw the F-bomb in this one?
Yeah, I'm not offended by it or anything like that. It just didn't make any sense to have Magneto swear at that point.
Right. Now, if he could have taken the metal and spelled out F-off or something with metal, that would have been great. Or done it like Deadpool and like had the metal in people and drag their bodies around and line them up so they say F-off. That would have been great too.
Yeah. Call me Francis.
Call me Francis. All right. I think it's going to do it. Any more parting thoughts on X-Men Apocalypse from you, Scott Clark?
No, I think that'll do it, man.
All right. Well, you can go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can find us there, thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can find Scott Clark as well at thegamingoutsider.com. So it's pretty easy. The Hollywood Outsider, The Gaming Outsider, whichever one you are into, movies or games, whatever. Facebook.
Or both.
Facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Please remember the podcastawards.com. People's Choice, The Hollywood Outsider. If you need more information, go to the website. There's a link there to help you out. And listen and subscribe for free if you're not already through our Apple or Android apps on iTunes, Spotify, or just throw our RSS feed into your podcast app of choice. That's going to do it for this episode. We will be back next week with a regular Hollywood Outsider. Thanks to Scotty for being here.
Hey, not a problem. Glad to help out.
And remember, guys, next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.